This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich here on New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's to you and yours. Getting close out there on the East Coast. If you're still with us, you're still listening, appreciate it. If you're driving around, make sure that you're sober doing it. Don't be driving around with your brew pops and things like that. Just call the Ubers and the Lyfts and the everything else that are going on. We got robot taxis out here now, Mike.
Yeah, the Waymos. Yeah. Wait, right? Isn't that Waymo, Waybo?
There's those. Like that? There's all kinds of that. There's a couple different ones. There's like a Zooks. Z-O-O-X.
We should tell everybody out there as well, as you are looking at the veggie dishes, if you see any carrots that look like Matt Brown or I, make sure you save them. You can sell them on eBay for big money.
Yeah, seriously. We're just having a talk off air. We'll circle around to that after I let you know that this hour is brought to you by Better. Better is the daily fantasy sports app. You can turn your sports knowledge into cash. Go in, download Better, B-E-T-R, or visit better.app right now. Sign up today, get a free $10. No deposit is required. There's this show on Netflix that's right now. So if you've ever collected sports collectibles, and now they're actually getting into all the other stuff, that's kind of like part of the story arc of this, is they want to get outside of just sports collectibles and get into all the other stuff as well. They got a hold of a Cheeto that looked like Charizard. What's his name?
Charizard.
The most powerful Pokemon. And they put it on auction and kind of like got it going and pumped everything up about it and all of this. And I guess all these Pokemon collectors started getting in on it because it was like, oh, I've got this awesome Pokemon collection. I can add this to my Pokemon collection. And they got in a bidding war, and this Cheeto ended up going for $87,000. So it's like,
that's crazy.
Pull something out of a Cheeto bag or a Frito bag or a Dorito bag or whatever it is, and it looks like something, don't eat it. Don't be like, oh, that's funny, that looks like that, and then eat it. Just try and make it into something that it's not, and then you'll make money off of it.
Yeah, there's the cornflake that looked like the state of Illinois that sold, but it all started with the Virgin Mary grilled cheese.
Yes.
Which was a phenomenon from 2004 when a woman sold a 10-year-old mold-free grilled cheese sandwich for $28,000 on eBay. Google it. It is hilarious.
I mean, it's just... it's nuts. This guy, I forget his real first name, but last name is Golden or whatever, that owns the Golden Auction House. Right, actually, you find out in the episode, got acquired by eBay. They just, you know, get a hold of all these crazy high end things and auction them off and all of that. And Mike, I'm going to spoil one little piece of an episode for you, and then you're going to watch the rest of them. But like, it'll be something that you kind of like laugh about. So the tobacco company that put out all of those old tea, you know, cards where the Honus Wagner is, mm-hmm. you know, the most expensive card and most rare card, Honus Wagner, of all time. Well, so the little backstory behind that is even though there was Ty Cobb and all these other guys that were like more famous, the thing was, is Honus Wagner didn't want his image to be promoting tobacco products. And so he got himself pulled out of all of these, which is why he ended up becoming so valuable in all of these, is because I guess there were only 50 of them or 100 of them got made before he pulled himself out of these packs. And so that's why, because of the rarity that went down with all of that. Anyway, so he gets his hand on one of the original packs of the cigarettes or whatever, and he bought it for like $36,000 or something, or $38,000. And then he opens it up, and there were some packs of cigarettes that didn't have any cards in them at all. And he opens it up, and there's no card in there. He made $36K for it, and it was one of the cigarette packs that didn't have anything in it. It was so great.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it was so great. Cause like, you know, no matter what card was in there, it's worth something. It's from the early 1900s. Yes. So like he was expecting to at least get some sort of return. But I guess there were some packs that didn't have one in there, and he happened to buy one of the ones that didn't. Oh, so good.
That's crazy. That stinks. Cause you when you're doing the math, you're like, I'm paying $36,000, but at least I'm getting $5K back, $10K back, whatever it is. Yeah. Right. So my real risk tolerance here is 20 grand, 20, 15 grand, whatever it is, not all 36,000 as you rip open. Guessing the cigarettes weren't even good.
I'm going to assume 100-year-old cigarettes are probably not good for you.
I'm not trying those.
Yeah, I'm going to assume those are pretty terrible. 17-7, 16 seconds left in the third quarter. Ohio State has the ball. They are marching it again here. They are down to the Miami 22-yard line. So, Mike, we were wondering if they were going to be able to go in at halftime and turn this thing around where it was just an absolute dud of a first half, completely empty for Ohio State. They go down, scoring drive to start the second half. They give up a field goal to Miami on Miami's first drive, and here they are now within field goal range, but obviously they have their eyes set on getting in the end zone again.
Yeah, they would like to score here, cut this down to a three-point game. Castor Smith overs. He's at 127. His number was 124.5. And Sayin at 247 yards passing, just 50 yards away from his halftime total. So it looks like both of those are going to end up going over their total like we discussed at half, Matt.
So we are going to head to the fourth quarter at 17-7. This is a live line now with Ohio State driving of you're catching 2.5. It feels like they're the better team now, but did they get themselves in too big of a hole? I guess that's the question with all of this. I guess I don't really see any point in taking 2.5 as opposed to just betting them on the money line, right?
Yeah, you take the money line here, or you don't play. I mean, there's not a lot of scenarios that this ends up having the 2.5 matter. The biggest question for me is can Ohio State's defense slow down this Miami offense, right? Because this is if Miami's able to continually move the ball and kick field goals, and like it's just going to be hard for Ohio State to have enough possessions to be able to come back from a 10-point deficit.
Yeah, I've got my position. If I end up, it's certainly not bad beat territory. There's a whole quarter of football, but I mean, if I lose a plus 10 ticket right now, then. It's kind of like you said.
It's a bad beat.
What a way to go out in 2025. Like, you know, that's a good way to go out.
Yeah. If my last bet was a loss because there was a blocked field goal with 6 seconds left that's returned for a touchdown, right, then so be it.
Yeah.
Goodbye, 2025.
Yeah, exactly. We can laugh it away as we head into 2026 here. So Seattle is our second game on Saturday. They're going to head to San Francisco. This is 1.5 in favor of Seattle. 47.5 to 48 is the total. This did flip favorites. It's insignificant going through the zero, but it does let you know where the early money came in on. This opened San Francisco as 1-point favorite. Now it's 1.5 in favor of Seattle. I just get the injury report come through. Christian McCaffrey is good to go, as is Kyle Juszczyk. So that's pretty big. Cross did sit out practice today. That doesn't necessarily mean he won't play, but that's a big thing here for Seattle. Mike, I didn't get the best of this. I caught it here at Circa when it was a pick. I didn't get the point, which, you know, who knows? Maybe the point comes into play here. We know 2-point conversions and things and whatever, and missed extra points and all of that and whatnot. But I took Seattle at a pick, and mainly because I do wonder what the sentiment would be leading into this game. Caleb Williams got down to the 2-yard line. The Bears had 2 plays from the 2-yard line to beat San Francisco and put 44 points on the board against them. But that didn't happen. They stopped. And good on San Francisco. I'm not taking anything away from the win necessarily, but Chicago would have put up 44 points and beat them on the road. What would this be? What would we think about this San Francisco team had that played out? Instead, they hold on. They stop them from the 2-yard line twice in a row, and now San Francisco won. I don't know. I think this is a little bit closer to 3 with Seattle for me. This defense for San Francisco can be had. As long as Seattle plays good, I think they win this game. But, Mike, that's the thing, right? We have seen these gigantic lulls from Seattle time and time and time again, and San Francisco's offense is good. So if they do that, I don't care how good Seattle's defense is. If they go 30 minutes playing with their food, then San Francisco can win this thing by a touchdown.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. You talked about one of your things earlier, one of your resolutions for next year, that if it's a game you love, you back up the Brinks truck. If you could guarantee me I was going to get Seattle's offense to play well for 60 minutes, I would back the Brinks truck up on this one on Seattle. Even with the fact that I'm not getting that guarantee, I still think Seattle is the right side here. I bet them at +1.5 on Monday night, right when we got the opener off of the San Francisco win there. The San Francisco defense is terrible, like legitimately just very bad at defense. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is a Seattle team that should be able to run the football when they want. They should be able to throw it wherever they want to whomever they want. And I look, the San Francisco offense is good, legitimately good. They're going to score against everybody. But the advantage here is still Seattle's offense against San Francisco's defense. And then the opposing side of that, I think, is about even with the San Francisco defense or offense against the Seattle defense. So for me, this was an easy one to get into my account at the plus 1.5 price at Seattle. I would still bet Seattle here at minus 1.5. I think Seattle should be a 3.5-point favorite in this game. So this one's a pretty easy one for me to get to the window.
Do you agree with my assessment, though, is if we get one of those big lulls, they could lose this by a touchdown. Yeah, they could lose this by a touchdown because San Francisco's offense is going to move the ball. Like, they are efficient. They're good.
They will have some success.
Yeah.
The question is how much, but there will be some. And Seattle should have nothing but success. We just saw Chicago have nothing but success. We saw Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers look amazing in the first half of that football game, put up 27 points. Seattle should be able to pick their number. The question is, will we get that version of the Seattle offense or not?
There we go. March it right down the field. Touchdown, Jeremiah Smith. And now we have a 17-14 game. 13-28 left in this one. I am not comfortable with my plus 10, man. I'm telling you right now, I do not feel great about it at all. Ohio State has looked like a completely different team here in the second
half. I'll buy your plus 10 ticket off you. I won't even upcharge you. I'll just take it up for you straight.
It is up and good. So 17-14, it's a field goal game with 13-28 left. We'll see what Miami can do with their second possession of the second. Yes, just their second possession of the second half when we come back. It is primetime. Don't go anywhere.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is primetime here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich as we look at now a 3-point game. We went to half at 14-0. We sit at the 13-28 mark of the fourth quarter at 17-14. Ohio State has taken their first two possessions and gone and scored touchdowns. But again, Mike, these teams don't work very fast, and so we're into the fourth quarter already here, 17-14.
Yeah, every possession has resulted in points in the second half, and yet we only have 17 points scored in the second half. There's 13 minutes left in this football game, and it just shows the level of consistency you need from an offensive perspective to move the ball down the field. We're just not getting big chunk plays outside of the 159-yarder that we saw in the first half from Ohio State. Miami takes a shot there on first and 10, unsuccessful. So have to reset the playbook here, try and get a run on second and 10, move the football forward a little bit, then throw it, see what they can do. But this has just been a very methodical game. This is a big drive for the Miami offense, Matt. They need to find a way to get at least one first down here. You do not want to give the football right back to the Ohio State offense.
Yeah, this is, you know, I don't believe in momentum. You don't really believe in momentum. It's just more of a, I think the adjustments made by Ohio State at halftime are just paying dividends right here. I don't think it's like the momentum shift as much as it is, okay, what we did in the first half didn't work. We got to change what we did. And it seems like that is working as we get bottled up here on a second down run. It is going to be third and 11 or 12 for Miami in what could be a disastrous series here for them if they give the ball right back to Ohio State and put that defense back out on the field after yet another long drive. That's another thing to bring up here, Mike. It's like Miami's defense is good. They've been on the field a long time.
Well, and the fact that I'm sitting here trying to watch as much of the game as possible, being able to tell you before they ran the ball on second down, they're going to run the ball on second down. Probably not a great thing if you're a Miami fan there either. If you look at the play-by-play here in the second half, this has been all Ohio State. They took the opening kickoff, 11 plays, 82 yards, 6 minutes and 44 seconds. Then a touchdown in 10 plays, 75 yards,
minutes
and 33 seconds.
Gosh! Carson Beck.
So they've had the football over 10 minutes of that third quarter.
Mike, Carson Beck in. I'm not saying a game-saving play or anything, but what I will say is he tucked the shoulder and truck-sticked a corner that was coming over to get him to get the first down. He makes the 12 yards.
But he lands on the back of the defender as well and rolls over, so gets the extra yard and a half. So this isn't even close to being a reviewable play here. So it's first and 10 Miami on their own 35-yard line.
But like we said, a quick three and out could have been terrible for this team. At the very least, you've given your defense a couple more minutes to get a breath, right? So that was a huge, huge third down run there for Carson Beck. 17-14, 11.5 left in the fourth. Second and 9 as they only get 1 yard on first down. Okay. Mike, we are going into Sunday, and we'll kind of like pick and choose the games here. We'll get a full breakdown on every single game on Saturday. You want to be here on the network for us doing that. And oh, by the way, we'll have much more information as well on by then. We'll know kind of a little bit more about what's going on with some of these teams, but we at least know what's going on here with Green Bay, who has said that they're going to sit at the very least Jordan Love and some starters. Everyone assumes Malik Willis is too injured to play as well, so we are not expecting him. And further, they did sign Desmond Ridder to their practice squad, which kind of all but says that we're going to be going with Clayton Tune here in this one, and then Desmond Ridder backing him up. LaFleur, here's a quote. We have 53 spots on our roster. You can have 2 practice squad call-ups. You have 48 dressed on game day. So there are going to be some starters that aren't going to play. They may not suit up. They may suit up. And then you're going to have some starters that are going to play. So basically, you guys will find out on Sunday who's playing. So great. Thanks for that.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate that one a ton. But with all of that, at least it did move the line much in the favor of Minnesota. They are now 7.5 point favorites in this one. I'm just wondering if that's too much.
Yeah, it feels like it's too much. Let's just remember, it's Max Brosmer who's going to lead this Vikings team.
We assume.
What's that?
We assume.
We assume, yes. We assume it's not going to be J.J. McCarthy. But assuming Max Brosmer, which I think is a fair assumption at this point,
because he did have a limit. I want to point this out, Mike. Difference. I don't know if you saw, but like McCarthy did practice limited today. So, I mean, like
he did.
He's back. So, I mean, just again, well, it's out there.
I would say at 7, if it's McCarthy, I think it makes sense. If it's not McCarthy, if it's Brosmer, I think 7 is just too much. Mm. To expect him to be able to win by margin to me is. It's a completely different ask than trying to cover, right? You're taking him as a 7.5 point dog last week against Detroit. Okay, I was on him. That makes sense. Like, but then turning around and saying you have to win the game by 8 for me to get to the window, that is a completely different ask, despite the fact that the team on the other side may not be start playing a lot of their starters.
We talked about this from a survivor aspect as well. I can tell you that Juicy K and maybe Kick Your Knees Up and whatever are probably hoping that it's going to be McCarthy that at least gives them another option if they want to go that direction or whatever. Again, we're down to 6 in Circa Survivor for the $18 million. Minnesota going to be probably picked by at least one, if not more, people on Sunday, Mike. If it's McCarthy and if we get a real kind of smoke screen tomorrow that it's going to be McCarthy, there is still a 7.5 at FanDuel right now. I think I'm going to have to sit here and really, really consider Green Bay because I understand it's probably going to move to 7.5. It's probably going to move to 7.5 everywhere. McCarthy, what is the upgrade to McCarthy to Brosmer? I mean, I know there is an upgrade. There is an upgrade. Do not get me wrong. There is an upgrade from McCarthy to Brosmer. But like, could this go to eight? Could this go to 8.5? What? I mean, like, we just heard what LaFleur said. He's like, some starters are going to have to play. I don't have enough players to not. I mean, like, starters have to play.
If you assume this is the Brosmer number, if McCarthy's in, it should be 10. Now, do I think it's going to go all the way to 10? I think this is kind of a middling number right now between what it would be with McCarthy and what they believe it should be with Brosnan. So I don't think we get to see 10 at any point. But I look, if I find out McCarthy's in and I can get a 7.5, I'm teasing this game down. If I find out it's definitely Brosnan and I can get a 7.5, I'm playing the Packers. Right. To me, that is the quarterback decision for the Vikings to changes how I play this game. And I'm not willing to make an investment in either until I know who is starting. So maybe I don't get the number. Maybe I have to pass the game. But I want the actual information in this specific game because there's already so many different variables that are tough to tackle.
Guys, if you're thinking of sports, go ahead and get paid for it. Better is the daily fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into real cash. You go in, download the Better app, more or less on your favorite player stats, and if those hit, you win. Free $10 just for signing up. No deposit is required. And if you do want to deposit, 50% deposit match up to $200. Head to better.app, that is BETR.APP, or download the Better app in the App Store, Google Play Store right now. Promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, to get that free $10. And if you want that deposit bonus, be sure and use VSIN as well. Better picks. If you know sports, it's time to prove it. Ohio State with the ball. First down. It just seems like this is inevitable. And I know you laughed at me about the plus 10.
That I'm not worried about. Well, I will still buy your ticket.
We'll see.
I'll still buy your plus 10 ticket.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know if you know or not, but 14 plus 14 is 28. And if 28 minus 17 is 11, I just was going to
I can math.
I was just going to math that for you real quick.
Ohio State now a 2.5 point favorite, minus 175 on the money line, total sitting at 38. If you want to get involved there, they are juiced as a 2.5 point favorite, though. I kind of agree with the 2.5 juiced. I think that is the correct side here.
Saying is up to 273 yards passing now.
Yeah, he's going to get 300.
Yeah. Smith is up to 141 receiving. And this second half has looked like the first half in reverse, because this is what Miami did to them in the first half, and now Ohio State's doing it to them, except they're just doing it a little bit more quickly and a little bit more efficiently. And I know you laugh, but I don't know if my plus 10 is safe. I really don't. I don't know if it's safe.
Well, the clock is your friend here. They're off the gas here. Well, that is a big sack.
Yeah, there we
huge
go.
Huge sack there on second huge. Six.
Huge.
As Miami
bull rushed right up the middle.
Sack there. It set up a third and long.
There we go. That was about as clutch of a play as I could have possibly asked for. Right. I mean, just straight up the middle. One. Just straight up the middle. I'm going to go ahead and say
the running back.
I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, Miami, cover four on this play right here. I would cover four. I would be
maybe stop Bain
because we might be.
You mean stop Smith?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I would be like, you know, let's double team four right here because this might just be like an arm punt situation for Ohio State. Yeah. So let's cover him there. Again, we're at the 8:09 mark in the fourth quarter, 17-14. We'll keep you updated on everything when we come back. They didn't cover it.
They didn't cover four.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Primetime here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Appreciate you guys being with us. Happy New Year. Inch closer to those out on the East Coast. West Coast out here, probably you might have popped your first one here about an hour ago. You know, like if you're heading out on the town, you know, you get your one at home about 6:30, call the Uber. You know, you're probably sitting in an Uber right now. You watching us in an Uber? How you doing? Appreciate it. Thanks for watching us there on the VSiN Watch app or on YouTube TV. As Ohio State does have to punt it back to Miami and would have had Miami deeper, but there was an illegal formation call, had to repunt it. And so now Miami will take over about the 32-yard line. So gained about 10-ish yards of field position there on the illegal formation. And so Miami will look to at the very least, get some of this clock burned off and move the ball down the field here. But 3-point lead, would like to at least get a field goal to make them have to score a touchdown on your defense. So we'll see what they can do. It's been a tale of two halves, that's for sure. All Miami in the first half and seemingly all Ohio State here in the second half up until that drive right there.
Yeah, I've just Venmo'd you for your plus 10 ticket. So whenever that goes and cashes, you can Venmo me back with the winnings. I appreciate it. Look, this has been all Ohio State in the second half, but you are still seeing the Miami pass rush show up in specific spots. And that was key in that last drive. We saw a big sack to force a third and long. They were able to pick that up. But then the pass rush got to say in back-to-back plays where he was forced to take the offensive line was forced to take a holding. Then he had to kind of just get rid of the ball and these dump offs that were not able to go anywhere. So the Miami defensive line still showing up and making plays deep in the second half. Another big drive here. Can Miami just hold the football? Because if they can reincarnate that offense they had in the first half, they may be able to keep it for the rest of the game here and not give Ohio State the ball back.
Mike, not a ton to talk about in Indy and Houston, as we suspected when these lines were popping up as we were going off air on Sunday last week. It is going to be Riley Leonard go for them. And honestly, Philip Rivers is going to be the emergency quarterback. He's not even going to be an active. Seth Hennigan will be his backup. If you were wondering who Seth Hennigan is, he's an undrafted free agent rookie out of Memphis. He actually spent the first 4 weeks of the season on the Jags practice squad, but he will be the backup to Riley Leonard here for the Colts. And so this thing's out to 10.5 in favor of Houston. Houston still needs to win. Whatever. Like we said, we made this part of our 10 point teaser.
No, we did.
No, we didn't. Jags, Pats, Broncos.
You chose the Jags one over this.
Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, look, I think the Texans win.
Yeah.
I have no clue if they win by margin or not. If anything, team total Colts under first half, when you're going to get the best effort from the Texans defense and like maybe a first half bet here on the Texans. I haven't bet anything in this game yet. We'll see what the props show up as. Maybe you look at Colts wide receivers, especially ones that you think may get run late in the game because the Texans defense eases up. This is one of those where it is tough to really get excited about anything pre-flop unless you really feel like you have an angle. Yeah. And I don't think I have a great angle.
I don't think so either. When more information comes out, maybe like if we get any indication, if Indy's just kind of going to punt this off with their starters. And if that's the case, then like you said, maybe there's some hidden gems in the wide receiver core that maybe we can go after from a prop perspective. But outside of that, this is just not a very appealing game.
Would have been a great 80 Mitchell over game.
Yeah.
If he was still a Colt like that, this is the spot where you want him and it's over.
The Cleveland Browns are going to go on the road as 7.5 point dogs to Cincinnati. We get an explosive from Miami. That was huge for them under the 6 minute mark as they move out towards midfield. So
yeah, big run from Fletcher again. He's been the star for Miami the entire time in this these college football playoffs. He's had these big explosive runs. And he's carried the load today. Great blocking up front. Just very, very nice hole to run through.
Yeah, so right at midfield. So about a 19-yard run, which again, like we said, just at the very least flips the field and then looking to get some points on the board, eat up some clock.
As we
move down to the 5:15. 5:14, 13, 12 mark before they take the snap here on first and 10, about a 3 yard, 4 yard run right there for Miami. So it's definitely something they needed right there. So awesome for this, for any Miami backer out there. Now I'm okay with the 10. Now I'm okay, Mike. Now I'm okay with the 10.
I still Venmo'd you for at least part of the ticket.
Now I'm okay with the 10. Everything's good. Now I'm okay with the 10.
I tried to be a supportive friend and buy you off the ticket you were so worried about.
Bengals is 7.5 point favorites at home. 44.5 is the total. I mean, look, we talked about this. If you want, I think the Carolina leg of a teaser is viable because they're playing straight. They're playing hard. They're playing starters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Cincinnati has seemed to want to play straight, play starters, play hard, finish strong, all the different things that you hear from all of these teams. Cleveland, ton of injuries with all of the Cincinnati's going to win by two. I mean, you can get this down to 1.5. If you want to pair this up with the Panthers, I'm A-okay with you doing that.
Doesn't this feel like the same cap as your cap last week? Couldn't the Bengals lose this game or win by 20? Why not Bengals alts again this week?
That's true. Because the defense for Cleveland has basically just become Myles Garrett. And they've fallen off a decent amount here over the last 6 weeks.
And we've seen them give up big runs. I expect Brown's going to be able to run the football here. Burrow's playing very well. Their secondary's been gettable. Yes, you're going to have the pass rush with Garrett, but at least you understand where the main issue is for your offense to try and be able to move the football here. This is a Bengals team where if they put the pedal to the metal, they're going to score points. And it's a Browns offense that, look, the Bengals defense stinks, but the Browns offense isn't exactly lighting it up.
No Fannin, right? No Njoku. So, it's like looking rough for them. No, obviously Judkins has been gone for a couple weeks now.
So it sure feels like this is a game where the Bengals could win by margin. And I kind of cap this the same way as we capped last week. I don't really want to tease the Bengals. I would rather lay the 7.5. I'd rather lay 13.5. I'd rather lay 16.5, right?
Yeah.
And just try and play into the tail that is a Bengals blowout. Get plus money again.
Yeah, 12.5 is plus 144, 13.5 is 161, and then 14.5 is 184. You could kind of just do those three right there. Yeah. That's probably a decent way to look at that one. I don't hate that at all. Dallas and the Giants. This is 3.5 in favor of the Cowboys. 51.5 is the total. And Mike, I might be falling for it. I played the Giants because I'm reading between the lines here of this whole Dak is going to start. They won't commit to the other starters starting. They won't say how long he's going to play. They won't say how long any of these dudes are going to play. The Giants obviously don't care about the seating in the draft order and all of that. Like we said last week when we played the Giants against the Raiders, it's an interim coaching staff. They're going to be gone anyway. They don't care. They don't care in the least bit about what the draft position is. They're out of a job. So on the other side of a field goal, I think it's too much. My feeling is, and I could be wrong, and this will be a horrible bet, my feeling is they play two series and that's going to be it. Why are you in a lost season? You have invested an incredible amount of money in Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. You're going to have to pay George Pickens an incredible amount of money. You're going to roll them out in a meaningless game on the road, by the way, not even in front of your home fans. You're not impressing your home fans or anything. It's on the road in a stadium where everyone claims that the turf is tearing ACLs left and right. So we're going to do that. No, come on. Even Jerry is smarter than that.
Oh man, we should dress up like the MetLife turf for Halloween next year. And then someone else can dress up like as Achilles or as an ACL or something.
Yeah.
Great, great couples costume out there. If anyone's looking for them. I kind of want to play the over, but then I ran into the same problem that you're going over here. I don't know who's playing. Yeah. I have no clue who's going to be out there for Dallas. I'm not going to bet over 51.5. If I don't know if I'm going to get the actual complement of the offense out there, it doesn't make any sense. So based on the information we have, it's Giants or pass until we get more information. It's week 18 is kind of like preseason light, where you can make decisions early if you have all the information, but half the games you're I kind of don't feel like I want to make decisions here until I actually know who is going and how long they're going to play.
Yeah. Would you agree though, the 3.5 is too much if we get two series out of Dallas's guys?
Yes. So 3.5 is too much if you get a half out of Dallas's guys.
Yeah.
That defense isn't good.
Yeah. So I'm playing it as if that's what I'm getting. Again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We have to guess sometimes in week 18. So I'm just kind of guessing, reading between the league. I listen to the thing and they're we're going to start Dak, but how long and all the way. It's that's somebody that already knows they're going to pull him pretty quick. It's just how quick. And so, that's kind of where
you're definitely pulling him.
Yeah. Is where we're going with that. So I'll take the 3.5 there with the Giants. If you think sports, get paid for it at Better, daily fantasy sports app that turns your sports knowledge into cash more or less. On your favorite player stats, and if those hit, you win. $10 just for signing up, no deposit required. And when you do, you can get up to $200, 50% match there, up to $200. All the sports available, better.app, or download the Better app today from your app store of choice. Use promo code VSIN, VSIN, to get that free $10 and the deposit bonus.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
second and goal. The clock is ticking. 17-14 Miami as they look to go ahead and lock this thing down. Mike Somich, one timeout left for Ohio State. They will use it after this play in which Miami will take it all the way down. You'd like to think to the 1 second. There we go. Well, they went to two, but that's fine. And they just, yes. Okay.
Miami touchdown.
So in what can only be considered the only move you could make there, which was preserve the timeout, let them in, hope you can score very quickly and get an onside kick and then score again. Because it, what was going to happen is you were going to use the final timeout. They were going to be able to run this thing down to nothing. Then at that point, they probably do just go ahead and kick the field goal. Or even if you don't, whatever it is, you're going to have seconds left. So good on good on both teams here, because I think that was a smart move to let them in. But they're going to have 55 seconds and a timeout, and they're going to need a miracle.
Michael Irving is going nuts.
Oh, dude.
On the Miami sideline. He is on one right now. He is having the time of his life.
If you are in the Arlington, if you're in the Dallas Arlington area, you're going to see Michael Irvin out tonight. Michael Irvin's going to be at every one of the clubs this evening. So
make sure you're wearing your green and orange. You'll probably get something free from him, because he is going to be in a good mood.
Yeah, this is, I mean, they just keep cutting to him and he is loving every single second of it. And yes, the running back clearly didn't get that they were letting him in, but you got to go ahead and just score anyway. It's just it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you go ahead and score, but you did leave him a minute and a timeout, but whatever, you know.
Look, I just score there. Yeah. I get it. You could go down at the one. Yeah. You force them to use the timeout. Then they try and stop you. I mean, I guess they let you in.
Yeah.
Maybe. But at that point, it's like just get it, make it a 2-possession game.
Yeah.
Make it 10. Force them to go down the field, kick a field goal, onside kick, Hail Mary touchdown, or quick touchdown, onside kick, field goal. Like, that is very low probability of chance of working.
So again, this game went off. There was a lot of money coming in on Miami. This thing was as high as 10, 9.5 for a long time. Then the money came in, gets down to 7.5 as me and Mike came on air. Some buyback on Ohio State, then immediately that number gets taken. It does kick at 7.5. So this is a 7.5 point favorite that's going, well,
dog.
It's going to go out. It's going to go down here. I assume. Again, I know I'm talking a little prematurely here, but
this drive matters a lot for the under betters. The total opened 43.5.
Yes.
A touchdown would put us over every number.
And got all the way down. I was going to say, got all the way down to, what did we kick at, 39.5?
39.5.
Yeah.
So it was a 4-point move on the total, and every number is in jeopardy depending on what happens on this drive here with 55 seconds left. As a field goal would go, put the game at 41, which would go over the 39.5s and the 40s that were bought today, but not over the 43.5 this game opened at.
Was that a completion to start this
thing?
No,
that was incomplete.
Okay. The old 1 foot in college always makes it to where you have to really, because like in the NFL, you knew for sure that wasn't, you know, but it's like, look at Michael Irvin. I love it.
They just got to Michael Irvin, who's just on the bench.
Yeah. He's like just passing out hundreds on the sideline to everybody. He's just kind of like, enjoy the night. It's going to be amazing. 49 seconds. With one timeout for Ohio State. They're at the 25-yard line. So, again, we'll need a miracle, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So we'll see what goes on here. They're going to need to get an onside kick regardless. So no matter what goes on here, they're going to need to get an onside kick.
That'll do it.
And that will do it. He hits the deck, and Miami will advance. So 24-14, under betters rejoice there on the interception. Yep. There will be several knees here. Oh, there's Ray Lewis on the sideline. He's loving it as well. Michael Irvin's out of money. He's already given out like $250,000 on the sideline to all the players. Michael Irvin's out of money.
Saying ends the game with 287 passing. So does not get over his passing prop despite everything going perfectly in the second half. Just not enough from Saying there to get over his passing prop.
They get the pressure on him again. He has to step up into the pocket because the outside just continues to collapse. And then he gets hit up the middle as he threw it. So it wasn't, it wasn't your traditional pick. It was, he got smoked as he threw the ball. So there it is.
I love all these old Miami players. You got Jason Taylor on up there. Like, it's just fun. I like all the Miami guys.
We're taking knees. And so Miami and Carson Beck, everyone was clowning on Miami for the money they paid for Carson Beck in the transfer portal. But there it is. It paid off here, as 24-14 is going to be your final score here. Under is going to hit. Obviously, Miami going in as a dog covers any and all numbers here. And Moneyline bettors can rejoice as well as they take the field. Everybody's going to be high-fiving, and Miami will advance. And that will end Ohio State season. Mike, still looking up there, of course. I mean, you know, Sayan's coming back, young guy. You still Jeremiah's still coming. I mean, they're gonna be fine. They're gonna be fine. Yeah. I mean, they're gonna be fine. Everything's
good. Well, are we gonna hear the Ryan Day jobs not safe narrative start up now, or are we past that?
Well, let's me and you go ahead and start that. That's the topic on First Take in the morning.
Get up.
It's gonna be like, is Ryan Day really the man for the job? Like, there it is. I just wrote your headline for you. Good job.
You got to start out with, is Miami back? Is the U back? And then next is, are we sure Ryan Day can handle the pressure in Columbus?
There it is. I mean, just, they traveled well. That's a good amount of Miami fans there. Probably easy flight to Dallas, though. Dallas is a hub. Dallas is an American hub. So, yeah, easy flight for them. 24-14 is your final. Miami advances. Ohio State season is over. I want to thank Ryan McIntyre, Brandon Kravitz, Greg Peterson, John McKechnie for joining us here on New Year's Eve. You guys don't want to go anywhere. Dustin Sweetelson looking fine as ever. I seen him walk through already, Mike. Just, the guy is looking good here on New Year's Eve. Going to take over on the desk. He'll be joined by Rex Byers, Jonathan Von Tobel, Jonathan Davis. Oh, he should have kept Jonathan's. He stopped at two Jonathans on the evening. I wonder if his Rolodex had any more Jonathans. He should have done that. Yeah. Tanner Kern, Colby Dant, going to join him as well.
Dustin's got a big Rolodex. He got more than he's got a couple more Jonathans in there if he needs them.
He should have just lined up all Jonathans and have a Jonathan themed show.
See if anyone noticed.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. I'm a little disappointed. I'll have to ask him whenever he comes in here why he didn't just stack the Jonathans here on New Year's Eve. Want to thank everybody behind the glass as well for being here working all the holidays to keep us live on. I mean, we were live on Thanksgiving. We were live on Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, obviously, as of right now, Christmas Day. We'll be live all day tomorrow on New Year's Day. So could not get this done without everybody behind the glass making this all happen as well. Working through the holidays, understand that everyone's making some sacrifices to keep this programming on the air. Mike, as we move down, of course, the game everybody is going to be looking at, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and we'll have the full breakdown of all these games on Saturday. Cheap plug. Come on and listen to us here on Ready, Set, Bet. But 3.5 in favor of Baltimore right now. We get the full practice from Lamar today. So he's playing 40.5 to 41, the total here in this one. So the question becomes, even with Lamar, are the Ravens 3.5 points better than anyone but the bottom feeders in the NFL right now? And that's kind of where we will have to rectify what we do with this game.
Yeah, I really wish we had DK Metcalf in this game. I don't think he's worth like 2 points to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but with everything else that we saw happen with Darnell Washington, Austin, like I wish we had the full complement from the Steelers offense, because I would be jumping in on the +3.5. I still would. It's Steelers or pass. With the hook on it, it's Steelers or pass for me. I can't get behind how the market is priced Baltimore. I have not bet it yet. I'm going to let this one marinate a little bit, see what we get back from Pittsburgh from an injury report perspective. Watt, I do think, is going to play. I don't think that changes the line. But it at the 3.5, it's only Steelers for me. We already have unders in. I'm happy we've got those numbers in. But to me right now, it's Steelers or pass. Nothing else in this game.
Yeah, it is. I need more information too. I mean, just because he practiced in full today doesn't necessarily mean he is definitely going to play. So tomorrow we'll know a little bit more. Hopefully we can get that all taken care of. But boy, I cannot believe we're laughing, because it's going to be either the Panthers or the Bucks are going to the playoffs, and then it's like either Baltimore or Pittsburgh's going to the playoffs, and it's just like, okay, whatever. No one takes them seriously. Like, seriously, no one takes them seriously. Like, none.
Every year, there's those division winners that stink that are going to be home dogs. We're going to have a couple of them. I will say, Baltimore is at least more interesting if they make the playoffs. I guess my fandom would like Baltimore to win, but I'm going to be betting the Steelers. Baltimore by 3. How about that?
Thank you for showing up in your flu game here, as everyone could hear. Losing his voice. It's okay. He's going to go get some tequila on those vocal cords. He'll feel a lot better for Mike. I am Matt. Happy New Year and good luck on all your bets.